Before anything, I wanted to talk to you about a demonstration. I always do this in my demonstrations and presentations, is that if you're the type of person that you need to see it to believe it, raise your hand. Aha. I'm also the same thing. Okay? Sometimes when we talk about seeing is believing or having a field experience, it's like watching a football game on TV is very different when you see it actually in front of you. And or having some type of experience can tell you from an astronaut, when we went to NASA and my family and I asked an astronaut, what is the most experience that you learned when you go to space, and that the books and the training and everything that you go through, and he says that the launching time, when they launch just those seconds to hit space, that rattles the whole body and the rib cages and everything, and sometimes they have to do what they have to do naturally. But that's the thing, the field experience. Just keep that in mind, field experience. Well, we have a lot of activity in Laredo. Is it extraterrestrial? We don't know. Is this military doing exercises because we have a situation, a border violence, or is this a practice that they do around the areas? It's a possibility. Or is this actual a natural phenomenon? When you explore things that aren't explained, you get all these theories. I had a professor, a science professor, came up to me and asked me, a science of what are you doing this paranormal research? Whose science? And I told him, well, it's a theory. We have to put a theory. It's just like everybody else in history. You go back, Isaac Newton, you had Mercer, these astronomers had a lot of theories. And for the future, it became a fact. Folks, if we are the paranormal researchers, a pioneer, learning things that you cannot see, but there's an explanation to it, maybe our children, their future children, will have more answers, probably get more facts. Theories will start today. Hopefully, we'll have more facts for tomorrow. Well, technology has been advancing tremendously. Not that there's an app in your iPhone, but in your computers. But there's infrared. You've got cameras that can capture light that you can't see. And, of course, I've had a lot of encounters where people tell me, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Crabb, but I can see this light right here. It's visible light. But there's energy you can't see. Gamma rays, X-rays. There's also infrared light and ultraviolet light and some other source of energies that you can't see. We're going to give some demonstrations about the type of night vision that we use. And they're real sophisticated night vision, but it's a combination of technologies. The key success of the Laredo Paranormal Society is that we have folks that come up with a lot of ideas and they combine them together and we test and lo and behold, we have been very successful. Well, we're about to show you all the evidence except for the one from West Texas and Marfa, Texas. We captured a UFO there and we'll do the demonstration, but all the rest have been captured here in Laredo, Texas. It's a hot spot in northeast of Laredo and also in south Laredo. All right, so we're going to start. We're going to hand applause to Mr. Rodriguez, Ricky Rodriguez. We call him Ricky Rod. He's our tech. We're going to do whatever you want, Rick. What do you want to do first? Okay, we're going to do a night vision. Night vision is a camera can take 50,000 times light gathering. That means it can see more light than we do 50,000 times, okay? Look, we have some movie stars there. Hey, thumbs up right there. And this is the reason it's green, and sometimes we use digital night vision, which is more monochrome, black and white. Well, I'm going to show you, before he aims this light, a camera to me, just hold up in the audience there, Rick. I'm going to show you an illuminator of infrared light. I'm going to hold up here. And right now, I have this light. And I'm beaming this light all in across your faces, and I'm going to melt your eyes, okay? No, not just kidding. But this infrared light illuminates light that you can't see. You probably see a little bit of red, amber in it, right? But the camera sees something different that you guys cannot see. Rick, let's do this. See that light? That's light that you can't see. But folks, we are always have that mind. You have to see it to believe it. There's actually right now a demonstration that maybe these entities anomalies or UFOs, being extraterrestrial or military or natural phenomena, are cloaked with this type of energy. Where's it come from? What are they doing here? All these questions we're gathering, and we gather this information, and we're doing these conferences, and we have you guys participate in this events because we want you guys to see what we do. And also, after the presentation on our table, we can show you what equipment you can buy. You can do this in your backyard. It will benefit us, too, because you will have more people doing eyes and ears of the sky. Okay? Light that you can't see is right there, folks. It does exist of many energies, things we do not understand. Also, as a point of reference, when you see those ghost TV shows, TAPS, and Ghost Adventures, and you think, oh, they have that light. No, they have this light. So they're doing their investigations in complete darkness. So just give you a demonstration of the light. Continuing, we have another technology. This is a FLIR. This is a infrared thermal camera. It picks up heat and cold signatures. Cold will be blue, red and hot, white, okay? And, of course, you'll see the different temperatures in between would be yellow and white. There's a bar on the right side. You said the bottom coldest spot, the point of reference would be 67, and top would be 93. And this is also an instrument that's benefit for us to investigate the night sky, facilities, buildings. And we have picked up anomalies, energies we can't explain. They manifest and move with intelligence. But also we have captured this UFOs that fly. And believe it or not, in the middle of central Laredo, we have to over a football field. And we'll give that demonstration earlier in our presentation. And that shows right there. That's all of you guys. Let's take a picture of them, Rick. All right? We'll post that on our Facebook. And let me show you that that is means you're alive. You're hot and red. And doesn't mean you're hot. That means that you're hot as the temperature. Okay? It's a very good instrument, also used for law enforcement or the military to pick up hit signatures. When there's a subject or a fugitive is running away from the law, they hide in the woods. Believe me, with this camera, you can't hide. They'll pick you up because they can pick up your body heat. Well, that's something that we're also using for our research, and it's been a phenomenal instrument, a good tool in our toolbox to do these investigations. All right? Another demonstration we're going to talk to you about, we'll connect the laptop and we'll do the laser demonstration. We use lasers, and I have a gentleman here, and Mr. Tony Salinas over here. I have him give a hand of applause, Mr. Tony Salinas. Well, he's a good friend of mine. He's with used to be with us in our group, and he said the idea. He says, are you going to go to Marfa, Texas? He goes, yes, I'm going to Marfa, Texas. And well, those lights, when you get too close to them, they disappear. Okay? So how can we make contact? Well, get a laser and zap them. Oh. Let's zap them with a laser. Well, what's out there that we can do that and do some research on it? Well, we got a 1-watt laser. A 1-watt laser, it's 360 times hotter than the sun. On the surface of the sun. It's very hot, and I can tell you one thing. It made headlines in Marfa, Texas. It made an impact for us in our research. We've been there. We just came back from Presidio. We did a UFO conference over there, and I got excited. I went to Marfa, Texas. In other words, from Presidio to Marfa, it was 60 miles. We went 4 times and discovered a lot of information for to archive and analyze and go back and do more research. These lights, they appear in the mountains. They manifest with this type of energy that they shine. So we got this laser. This laser goes up to 90 miles of distance. These lights are about 20 miles. So we're touching them. Somehow they respond with intelligence. Let me give you a demonstration of this laser, super hot laser. And we're going to pop this balloon over here. Well, we're going to try it. If you guys can see the balloon over here on my right side, well, it's my right side, but left side. I'll start dancing here. Right over here. Thank God it popped. If it shouldn't, I'll be sweating here. All right. Well, we're waiting for the PowerPoint to get up in the video, and we're just going to do that right now, and we'll start doing our presentation. And just keep in mind the laser and the thermal and the night vision, okay? Rick, I think we have a, Houston, we have a problem. Did you press source? Okay, let's try it again. Apologize. Whew. Now we're cooking with Crisco. I'm going to have to take off my jacket, guys, because I smell like carnitas. I'm sorry. All right, let's put that right there. Our mission statement, investigate, document all suspected paranormal activity using scientific methodology to determine if the reported activity can be explained both logically and scientifically by eliminating all probable and rational variables. We are a nonprofit organization. Our primary focus is to investigate suspected paranormal activity at residents and places of historical region and also UFOs. We don't charge for a service. Our return of investment is the knowledge and the research and educate the public what we do. If they can practice it and they can give them more ideas and evolve as a society, that is how we get paid back. We do take donations and we also work with fundraising, but the Paranormal Research Society has been working hard day in, day out to get all these programs and evidence and studies that we have done of so far, 108 cases, which 108 cases, 30 of them, we couldn't give a conclusion. It was inconclusive to be considered to be unexplained, paranormal. We have more cases that have explanations. For example, we went to this house, and I always give this as an example. The lady calls us in the middle of the night to ask and says, I'm going crazy. My roof is falling apart. I hear nothing knocking. So we go investigate, and we find out that the house had a pecan tree right next to the house, and the pecan trees were hitting, rolling, and, you know, it was debunked. It was resolved, and we told her this is the reason. She says, oh, my God, I thought I was getting crazy. So those are the examples how we help people, and sometimes there are explanations of the events, maybe a plumbing problem or wind draft that makes all these noises, and also, you know, maybe there is energy that we cannot understand or where is it coming from. That's where it gets more interesting and where we use the scientific mythology to explain all this event. This video shows you of a person donated his body for the purpose of science. This person died in camera of night vision, infrared temperature. You can see that the energy of the body, the temperature is deteriorating. And the question is, where does this energy go? Does it stay in the house? To evaporate? Does it become an orb, an energy? Where does this energy go? That is a question that we have, and we're always going to be having science always trying to get some of the answers, but it gives you a visual where this camera picks up the energy leaving the body. In some studies, when the person dies, they say that about a couple of 8 ounces, to almost in some cases, 16 ounces, almost a pound, a person loses when the person dies. Is that because of the too much energy that person we all carry? There's a possibility. But the person, even to the last breath, where does this energy go? The Laredo Paranormal Research Society, we're 21 members in our group, and we started 4 or 5 at the beginning, 18 years ago. Most of the members at the beginning, law enforcement officers. I'm a deputy warden. I work for the Department of Corrections, and I've been doing law enforcement. I work with other agencies for many years, and I love to investigate. The group has been expanding from different careers. We have people that have done the medical field, education field, and we have a very, very good communication on how we get our videographer, or the person that does our website, our emails. We try our best to communicate, but sometimes our job takes too much of a burden. But when we get together and we do our investigation, we enjoy each and every time. You have to have a good time. Well, the next picture I'm going to show you is the reason why we're here. 18 years ago, we took a picture of a green anomaly, and it just was unexplained, and that's why we've been doing paranormal research. Well, not that one. I'm sorry. I think that's the wrong Slimer. There you go. That it was the green anomaly that we captured in the old Mercy Hospital here in Laredo, Texas, many moons ago. That is in the ER, in the emergency room. And we used to do training for law enforcement, and we took a couple of pictures, and that thing appeared. As a skeptic and the person that loves to investigate, we went back, we checked the camera, we analyzed the camera. Maybe it was the camera with the filter or something. And we noticed this energy just popped in our film, and we call it Slimer because it's green. It resembles too much of the green of the first picture, but funny it's so that we call that as a first itch on the head and say, there's things out there that we cannot explain, but that's the picture that motivated us to do what we do. All right, so we have UFOs. The Rare Primary Society has three focus or three possible theories: military, natural phenomena, or we have extraterrestrial. Now, we had approached, I have a lot of people approach me and ask me, well, aren't there satellites? Okay, and sometimes we hear people, yeah, it can be satellites. Well, let me give you a formula. Okay. There are more than 8,000 artifacts objects orbiting Earth. More than 2,500 of these are satellites working and dead. In other words, they're space junk. Okay? And they orbit in a distance that you can't see them, and I'll give you a proof. I'll give you some facts. All right. So 8,000 artifacts. We have an airplane that flies over 42,000 feet, which is about 10 miles above the sea level. And then you have weather balloons that fly above sea level about 25 miles. And then you have the space shuttle that flies about 57 miles above sea level. And then you have satellites that orbit 132 miles. That's approximately from here to San Antonio. Well, if the space shuttle is larger and it orbits in a safe zone around the Earth, which is 57 miles. Let me show this right here. The largest satellite that we know is about the size of a bus. This is the space shuttle. It takes about almost 4.5 buses of the length of the space shuttle. That shows you more or less how 4 satellites will appear comparing to the space shuttle. There's your satellites. Now, the space shuttle versus the satellite. Space shuttle, of course, is an altitude of 300,000 feet, which is 57 miles. And then you have something that is further and smaller, 700,000 feet, which is 132 miles. So you have the space shuttle being larger and closer versus something smaller and further. When have you heard? The weatherman says, and tonight you will be able to see a few scattered satellites as well as the space shuttle. Well, you can, but you have to have a very powerful telescope. There are telescopes that have GPS and they can follow satellites. You can view them through there, but through your naked eye, it's very, very difficult. You can't. The space station, there's your space station. There's the telescope that you can follow. And, of course, that's the telescope we're going to be viewing Jupiter tonight, a.k.a. named Hercules. And there's a picture of the telescope 700 times. So if you see the little speck on the left side, let me get my laser, right there. That gives you 700 times what a side of a view versus the space shuttle and the space station. So the question, can you actually see satellites with your naked eye? Think again. Now, our first sighting, this is what happened to me. It was September 18, 2008. It was about 9:45 p.m. northeast Laredo, Texas. I'm outside in my front yard, and my daughter, Andrea, she sees something in the sky and says, Dad, you see those two stars in the sky? So I look up, and I do see two stars. One was slightly bright, and the other was less bright, and they had a little bit of blue. It looked like fluorescent. And they were just like stars. I scratched my head and I go, okay, I've never seen these things. Maybe what time it is? So just to be in the fair side, I get myself a star chart or a star map. Now, the star map gives you a blueprint of the night sky, okay? The blueprint of the night sky tells you what the time and day of the year gives you, what is a map of the whole things that you can see where's the Big Dipper, the Small Dipper. And when I noticed checking the map, we noticed that those two stars weren't supposed to be there. they disappeared. And the way it all disappeared, this is my wife. She came later on, and I'll explain that right now. When they disappeared, I was astonished. My daughter got worried, and she says, "Oh, Dad, Dad, were there aliens? Did they hear us, and they disappeared?" I'm afraid she was getting very hysterical, and I go, "No, no, honey. There were some clouds, and they covered them, and there's stars." "Oh, okay." So she said, "All right." She continued playing around with my son. But inside me, subconsciously, I was like, "I've never seen anything like that. Stars have disappeared." It was too much a coincidence. Once I said, "Those stars don't supposed to be there," they disappeared. Well, my wife works for, she's a nurse, a registered nurse. She double shifts a lot. She was super tired. She comes in, and I'm jumping up and down. I'm so excited. And I go, "Honey, honey, I saw two stars, and it disappeared. And there was the witness. And let me tell you, it was amazing. I have never seen anything like it." And this is where her response. "Oh, no, you're not going to do this to me again. I let you do studies of little goblins and entities and ghosts, but now a little green man in spaceship. You're not going to do this to me. You're a deputy warden. People are going to talk about you. You're a public service official. Don't start this right now. Please. I don't need this from you." Well, I said, "Honey, I have to, because it's eating me alive. It's curiosity. I want to study this. Please." And she says, "If I see you studying this, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to leave you. It's going to be embarrassing. Don't do it." And I insisted, and this is her face again. "I had it with you. I'm tired. If you do it again, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm super tired. Besides, there's satellites." That's why I started to do the research of actually we can see satellites. Folks, the reason I'm here really on the UFO is because of her. I wanted to prove her wrong. This is what you call not fair evidence crisis. Okay, that's the way I felt. I hate this. How can I prove this lady that I saw something I couldn't explain? Folks, it's real difficult, and I challenge this to you guys if it happens to you, okay? Let's say that, just put this in, you know, thinking out of the box. Let's say that you're in your backyard, and a spaceship flies over your head, and has beautiful lights, does a little show for you, and it flies away. You saw it. Would you talk about it? First, you're going to be in shock. Second, you might think, "Well, was I drinking? Or I had scratched my head, or something hit my head?" Nah, it was my imagination. Guess what? It happens again. And it happens again, then you go, "Would you talk about it?" Well, that's the thing, guys. It's very difficult. Even with your immediate family members, like my wife or brother, "Oh, you're just crazy. You just saw something, you know, you're watching too much sci-fi channel." But it hurts. It's not fair, right? Well, when you document this and you videotape this and you put it in a perspective, you put this when you have more eyes and ears, guess what? Your evidence becomes valuable. Well, that's how I felt. Not for evidence crisis right there. The lemur says, "Calm down. You have to calm down," because I was very upset. So I use the lemur, guys, because we have a baseball team here named the Lemurs. I heard a lot of stories about lemurs being a local animal here in Laredo, Texas. But the lemur says, "Calm down." There was a second sighting. Christmas Day. My father, my mother were eating dinner. It was late at night. And my dad says, we need to go. It's kind of late for your mom, and thanks for the gifts and dinner. So I call the kids. "Hey, kids, grandma and grandpa are leaving. Let's walk them out." And guess what? While I'm walking them out, there were the two stars. But the good thing, my wife was there. So I go, "Oh, I'm going to do this right. Okay, all right, honey, you're going to sit right. You're gonna stand right here." And she goes, "Now what?" And then I get my dad. Then I get my mom, and I told them, "You see those two stars?" And my dad says, "What stars? Those two stars? Yeah, they're stars. Look at them, because they're going to disappear." "How do you know?" Within 4 seconds, they disappeared. My dad was like, "How did you know?" "It happened last time, and it happened again. It was exactly those two stars, and disappeared." guess what? Once those two stars disappeared, again, went straight to my wife and I go, ha, I told you. I was like jumping up and down. Now do you believe? Just like our shirts we have. He says, okay, I believe you. But don't talk about it. You promised. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's military. Well, maybe it is, but maybe it's not. How do you know it's military? It has to be military. Just don't talk about it, please. So I didn't talk about it. There's an actual picture of the two, one brighter than the other one. There's the slightly dim, the left side. But here he comes where we are human, guys. Curiosity. Folks, listen to this. If you're not curious, you're not human. Okay? Curiosity will build up to have that intuition, exploration feeling about discoveries. You wouldn't have man on the moon and microwaves and iPhones and all this good technology that we have, medicine breakthroughs. It's because we want to know what we can do. Well, the curiosity, I couldn't sleep. Tossing and turning, couldn't sleep, thinking. And Einstein says, what are you thinking? How to investigate UFOs? How to catch them? I want to catch them now, right now. Well, you can't. We use a third-generation night vision technology to capture UFOs, okay? This is a very sophisticated equipment, because the military is a law enforcement. But our equipment, we have invested close to $40,000 in our equipment. We do presentations. We show some of our equipment what we do. And also, there is the key right there, the night vision monocular owl. It's a third generation. And that little thing right there is about a couple of inches thick, and it makes breakthroughs for us. And we'll show some of the videos we have captured with this. Although we have modified some lenses to it, and we have put some cameras behind it to make it work. Also, we use the FLIR, which we did a demonstration of the blue and hot, blue for cold, red for hot. There's a monocular. Now, if you can see, there is our setup right there. There is the recipe of seeing this anomalies defined over the night sky. Here is a 300-millimeter lens. Here is the monocular. The 300-millimeter lens is about, give or take, about $200 to $300. The night vision monocular is $9,500. We'll skip this green part right here, and we get this Sony night shot camera is between $500 to $600. And this is Home Depot, a relay plastic for the plumbing, $199. Combine all that, you have a good instrument of the sky. Of course, right here you can see we have this eagle eye of the night sky connected to a projector. Just like the audience, you're here, you can see all the events of the night sky to this projector and view in the night sky, and you can see anomalies flying, and then you see it the sky, and it's just like the light I showed you earlier, but you can't see it, same concept. They fly. You can see it, but only through the projector. It's just amazing. It gives you a lot of, well, what are they? Here's an example, here's an example where we have our backyard demonstrations. We have the projector while the investigator is doing this viewing of the night sky or stargazing. That's me right there.